is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and wrong. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, you know, so much to cover in so little time. Glad to do it. You know, things could be worse for the Trump administration, I suppose, when it comes to popularity. I mean, think about this. 24 hours a day, several of the major cable news outlets, in fact, all except one, pound on him continuously. According to that Harvard study, more than 93% of the stories are negative, and that's been a while. I'm going to guess that number could be a bit higher. Despite all that, his approval ratings hang somewhere between 45 and 50%. Not so in New Jersey, where the governor there, Chris Christie, having some trouble, if you didn't know this. The state government was shut down. So therefore, state parks and so forth were shut down. But Chris Christie, he decided a few days ago, oh, that's cool. State parks shut down. I'll just go spend time on the beach and make sure that nobody else comes in either. Use this security detail to secure the state beach and plop down there. His approval rating was abysmal to begin with at about 27% in May. Today it's at 15%. You know, I don't put much value in polls oftentimes, but 15% is worth noting. That came from a Monmouth University poll, so we're going to say that it has some validity. It's difficult to get that far, but you have to admire Chris Christie's tenacity for working so hard to drive his numbers so far in the toilet. Yeah, that's the truth. All right, so Donald Trump Jr., the focus of a lot of conversation now, because the Democrats, well, they don't have anything to talk about. Oh, Donald Trump, by the way, I need to get this out. Donald Trump tweeting already today, blaming Democrats. It just happened about a minute and a half ago during the break. Donald Trump pointing out problems with the Democrats and getting his cabinet seated. He said he hasn't had, let's see here, where did it go? I just watched it. The Senate, there it is. The Senate Democrats have only confirmed 48 of 197 presidential nominees. 48 of 197. 25%. They can't win, so they'll do anything they can to slow things down and obstruct. It happened just during the break, just minutes ago now. Yeah, I've decided that I need to stay on top of the Donald Trump tweets, otherwise I miss one, and then then the world goes crazy, and where am I? Playing catch-up. So you've got that going for you. But Donald Trump Jr. met with a Russian attorney sometime June of 2016, right about the time Donald Trump had secured, or a few days after he had secured the nomination, but had not gone to the convention, obviously. And word was that there was dirt to be had on Hillary Clinton coming from the Russians. Apparently, there may be an email. We don't know. It's an anonymously sourced story from the New York Times. We know what their track record is, abysmal. But the New York Times reporting today, there's an email where Donald Trump Jr. is told that there's dirt to be had on Hillary Clinton that's coming somewhere from Russia, possibly the Russian government. We don't know. Nobody's seen the email, so it's all speculation, which is what, you know, the liberal media does best, is to speculate. But here's one guy who seems to have it right. Florida Congressman Ted Yoho, who says, yeah, it's called being in a campaign. He was on CNN yesterday with Wolf Blitzer. I like to. Wolf Blitzer. Why are you yelling at me, Wolf? We thank you very much. What is wrong with that guy? Anyhow, Florida Congressman Ted Yoho said, yeah, it's what I would do. The one of the first guys to tell the truth about Donald Trump Jr. If there's dirt to be had on your opponent, you listen. Go ahead, play that clip. Ted Yoho, Florida.
I believe it was appropriate for Donald Trump Jr. to take a meeting with a Russian national who promised to provide damaging information to him and his associates involving Hillary Clinton.
Do I think it's appropriate? I think I probably would have done the same thing. I mean, it's opposition research, and, you know, anybody that's been in an election, you're always looking to get the upper hand. You know, keep in mind, she wasn't an official for the Russian government, the way I understand it. She's a lawyer, a Russian lawyer. And if somebody comes to us and says, hey, we've got information on an opponent, yeah, I think that's an appropriate thing to do.
So let me get this straight. The Democrats are complaining about opposition research that came from the Russians. Meanwhile, the Democrats are paying for opposition research through a company called Fusion GPS that came from the Russians. They paid money to this Steele character, this former retired intelligence agent from England, to dig up dirt on Donald Trump. And he created this fictional account based on nonsense that came from Russia. But it was the backdrop, it was the foundation for much of the investigation into Russia today was from this phony dossier that everybody calls a Steele dossier, right? From this phony, you know, dossier. And so now the liberals, like, you know, Chris Cuomo or whoever out there, you know, banging their lips together, bumping their gums, in a lather, spit flying. Well, Donald Trump Jr., you know, he was trying to get dirt on Hillary. Well, yeah, that's what people do. And in fact, that's what the Democratic National Committee did when it paid Fusion GPS to get the Steele dossier put together, opposition research on Donald Trump that included such discredited stories of him urinating on beds and partaking in the pleasures of prostitutes in Moscow, none of which has any veracity. There's no truth to it. No veracity whatsoever. But I didn't hear Chris Cuomo railing about that. You know, there's a couple of these clowns, and Chris Cuomo's a clown. My daddy's the governor, and I'll say whatever I want. Damn it, I'm on CNN, and I can say whatever I want. You're a clown, Chris. You have no credibility. You're a shill for one political party over the other. It's an embarrassment to the profession of journalism, I must say. You're not alone, but you are certainly one of the worst offenders. There's a reason CNN's ratings are tanking. The louder they rail, the more they go crazy, the less people watch. It's cause and effect, and it's going out of control. But expect this Donald Trump Jr. story to play out for a bit here. But again, Donald Trump Jr. was not a member of the government, has not joined his father's administration. Met with a person who was not a member of the Russian government, who was learned quickly into the meeting. There was no information of any value to discuss, so they moved on. No follow-up. Nothing else to see or discuss. Somebody called and said, we got dirt. You want to hear it? Come see us. Sure. What do you got? Nothing? See you later. It's not collusion. It's not collusion. It's another C word. It's called a campaign. And everybody does it. It's not illegal. 14 after, you're listening to the Steve Gruber Show.
Covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Gruber. If you don't like what you see here, nobody wants to take you prisoner.
A few weeks ago, we told you about the farmer in Charlotte, Country Mills Farm, Steve Tennis, or Tenney's, I suppose it is, who has been, you know, selling his wares at the East Lansing Farmers Market for more than a decade. But when Country Mills decided they were not going to host same-sex marriage, or didn't decide, they just don't, they're Christians, and they had some people show up at their farm saying, hey, I understand you do weddings. Would you do this? He said, I can't, but right down the street here, there's another farm that can help you out. No problem. Well, that wasn't good enough. And these people got upset, and they went to East Lansing. And East Lansing, in a different county, 40 miles away, banned this farmer from their farmer's market held every weekend. because they didn't like his personal beliefs or his policies on his private property. The city of East Lansing thinks they can dictate to somebody's 40 minutes away that, what they can do on their private property. Maybe they can dictate to everybody statewide what they're allowed to do or not do. Kelsey Harkness picked up on the story, a senior news producer at the Daily Signal, joining me now to talk more about it. Kelsey, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. So you did some more digging on this, and you found some other people out there supporting him, like Kyle Barnett of St. John's. Tell me about that story and who this gentleman is.
Yes, so about 2 weeks ago, I actually had the fortune of visiting you all in the greater East Lansing area, and I spent 2 days with the Tennis family learning about, you know, this whole court case and how they wound up in the situation, what they plan to do moving forward. And I also, while driving along the highway, saw a sign, a bright yellow sign, that says, the city of East Lansing discriminates against farmers. And for some quick background, I've been covering these types of cases for 3 years now at the Daily Signal. I've visited the bakers in Oregon, the florist in Washington, a farmer in New York. And what's been similar in all these cases is I haven't seen many of the local communities really rally around the family in their defense. In fact, a lot of the local communities have actually launched boycotts against the businesses. But what I found in the greater East Lansing area outside of the city is that the Tennis family have a lot of support, including from this different farmer, Kyle, who doesn't even know the family. He went out of his way to get this sign made to really make a statement to the local East Lansing government that, hey, you're discriminating against farmers. You're doing the very thing that you're claiming to be fighting against.
Yeah, for religious freedom. And here's the one, and you said you've covered a lot of these stories, and I know you have because I follow a lot of your work on the Daily Signal. So my point is this. This one seems a bit different to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but East Lansing trying to push its tentacles of control 40 miles away into a different county altogether just seems unusual to me that they can think that they can reach that far. And so what if they don't like the way that I behave? Am I not allowed to come purchase products at their farmer's market? I mean, at what point does this absurdity stop?
Steve, you're not wrong at all. This case is very different for that exact reason. What's interesting is that the city of East Lansing has no jurisdiction over the Tennis family farm, the Country Mill farm. So they cannot go into the farm and mandate and basically threaten to put them out of business and say, hey, if you don't host same-sex weddings on your farm, we're going to file a lawsuit against them. So there's no victim in this case. You know, there's no same-sex couple suing them because they were denied some type of service. This is actually the city proactively 22 miles, 40 miles, I don't know the exact mileage, but proactively going out of its way to really regulate what they're doing on their own local family farm. And that's very different from these other cases. And it's important to note that we have a Supreme Court case coming up next summer that's going to address this very issue. So I'm personally going to be very interested to see how nationally people react to the story that, hey, this isn't just about what you say and do on your private property anymore. This is about cities going out of their way to regulate what you say and do on your private property.
Well, you made a point there, Kelsey. You said there's no victim here, but I would counter by saying the Tennis family and Country Mill Farms have been represented at this farmer's market for 10 or 11 years. So they are punishing him financially for his religious beliefs and how he conducts himself on his own private property in his own backyard. They're punishing him politically and financially for his beliefs in his own backyard. Now, that the gall of an of a local city government to reach its tentacles that far, that's what concerns me. So I think there is a victim here, and it's anybody who believes in the freedom of religion and the freedom of expression and the freedom of privacy to do as you will in your own backyard, because that's where their tentacles have reached here and punishing him for saying, listen, I don't believe in that, but here's what I can do for you. I'll send you right down the road to another property. They do the same thing, beautiful place. That's not good enough. They still want their pound of flesh.
You raise a good point, because this really is about the Tennis family right to participate in the economy and have a business. And so this case really raises the question about whether your political, personal, and religious beliefs can be used to really shut you out of the local, I mean, state and even national economies. And right here, the city of East Lansing is saying, yes, they can, but I'm going to be very interested to see where this case lands, because also I visited the farmers market in East Lansing to try to get a sense of how the community feels there. And even within the city, people were having a very difficult time defending them. I actually did not find anybody who would go on camera and defend the city of East Lansing at the farmers market. So I think that says something about how far this case is going.
I think it says that the case is, well, indefensible. Kelly Harkness, senior news producer at the Daily Signal. We appreciate the update. And next time you're in town, make sure you call. We'll go, you know, share a beer somewhere or whatever. We appreciate you doing the story. Keep us up to date on everything here, Kelsey, and keep up the great work at the Daily Signal.
Thank you so much, Steve.
There you have it, everybody. An update. Yeah, how can they reach into the farmer's wallet and control that? How can they do that? How can that be okay? 25 after, you're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
I get up and nothing gets me down. You got it tough. I've seen the toughest around.
The double standards of politics and policy and the privileged against the poor and so on and so forth. Double standards, nothing new, of course. But when it's so blatant and in your face, I guess it becomes, you know, irritating to a lot of us. It irritates me, that's for sure. John Legato here, a U.S. MC retired, is a former deep cover FBI special agent, author of a new book, The Near Enemy, a John Booker thriller. Legato has been an adjunct college professor teaching counterterrorism and international security at Campbell University. And Comey's private memos on the Trump conversations contain classified material. That's the bombshell that is being largely ignored by the media in the national circles, but it is a big deal. Of course, the whole thing with Jane and Bernie Sanders being investigated by the FBI for bank fraud also being largely ignored. Of course, Hillary Clinton and her deeds were ignored while General Petraeus was prosecuted. John Legato, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning.
I mean, there are so many examples now. It's not just one. It's not just Hillary. You can look around and see how different people are treated differently, how the stories are treated differently, how all of this, it's the swamp and the cesspool are deeper and darker than a lot of people imagined, I suppose, a fair way to put it, John.
It's frustrating as an FBI agent to watch nobody go to jail. I mean, look at Eric Holder, when he committed perjury, was allowed to go back in and reboot before a congressional committee and said that he misremembered when he signed the affidavit on James Rosen, testified he didn't have any knowledge of it. And then they produced his signature and he said, I forgot. So, I mean, nobody goes to jail.
I forgot.
On the, you know, the Democratic side.
I forgot. But, you know, if they caught any Republican here, even now, with a new Republican president, it would still be the same double standard, wouldn't it? Because that's what I'm seeing. Even though the administration has allegedly changed, the double standard and the application of law has not changed. Republicans and conservatives are punished when liberals are allowed to walk away unscathed. How is that?
I don't know. I wish I did know, man. When I was with the FBI, we never looked at ideology, you know, when we went after criminals. So I don't know what's happened, but I think that the Bureau has gotten politicized. And part of that is when Bob Mueller took over the FBI, we were pretty independent. But after his, I think he had a 12-year term.
He did.
He basically joined us at the hip with Justice. And Justice is a very political agency. I mean, look at...
Let me ask you this. Because this is the most important question I'm going to ask you probably all day. As a former FBI special agent who worked there for a number of years, did James Comey break the law? Did he violate the contract that he signed, the agreement that he signed, not to disseminate information when he sent his memo, which he claims are just private recollections, although it was done on company time and company vehicles using company computers, the company being the FBI, and shared it with his Columbia law professor friend. Did James Comey, in your estimation, violate the law? Did he break the law? Did he commit a felony?
Yeah, he did. And first of all, he called his leaked memo. Actually, there was more. I heard four and heard seven. He called it a personal FBI memo. Well, there's no such thing as a personal FBI memo. You can't put those two words together, because once you reduce anything to writing, whether it's pen to paper or finger to keyboard, that becomes an official government document. When we would go out, if we took notes on a legal pad or on toilet paper, we had to put those notes in an evidence envelope, and that became discoverable. But look at the policy, Steve. It forbids any agent from releasing classified information or any information from an ongoing investigation or sensitive operation. So Comey had to consider, if you think about it, why was he writing the memos? He believed he was investigating obstruction of justice with the president. That made it an ongoing investigation. And it finishes that all those records created during official duties. He obviously was having an official meet with the president. That's an official duty. Are to be considered government property. So I don't see how he can say this was a personal memo. I don't see how he can say he didn't break the law. His actions, his words belie his actions. And another example of that is he's writing memos after meeting with President Trump, basically because he believes the president is obstructing justice. Loretta Lynch tells him to use the word matter. Why didn't he write a memo after the meeting with Loretta Lynch? And the reason is...
Or anybody else.
Anybody else. But that shows his ideology right there. That shows his political bent. And that's what bothers me as a retired. I retired from the FBI agent.
So, John, how do we get there? We're on the line with John Legato, a former deep cover FBI special agent. How many years were you with the Bureau?
23.
So you were there for 23 years. If you had come up against this and you were looking at this and this was a lesser politician or an operative, you would pursue criminal charges against this person. If James Comey was on your radar, you would pursue criminal charges for what's been done here. If a lesser FBI agent had shared his, quote, personal FBI notes, whatever that means, with a friend at a local newspaper, you'd be pursuing prosecution, would you not?
My head is bursting. I did an article in Laura Ingraham's thing, and basically nobody goes to jail on the left. But, you know, I have a book. And it's a good example, the book. I'm not trying to bring it up, but I wrote a book. I'm retired. I had to get that book vetted, every word. It's like 430 pages. And I'm retired. I had to get that book approved by the FBI.
And let me be clear about this. I believe your book is a fiction book, correct?
It's fiction, yeah.
It's based on real experience, but it's a fictional book, and you still had to have every word approved. It had to go through the screen, if you will. It had to make sure that it passed muster as far as what was in there. And James Comey has the gall to tell the rest of the world, well, it was just personal notes, and they leave it at that. At this point, why has he not been charged?
Well, I mean, the list is long on why. I mean, like, poor Martha Stewart went to jail just for lying to FBI agents. I mean, Lois Lerner got away with not murder, but, like, nobody goes to jail on the left. I agree. I don't understand. It frustrates all law enforcement officers to watch selective prosecution, and that's what's going on. And they're selecting who they want to prosecute. I don't know.
Is it because, let me ask you this,
back Hillary for the emails? It's blatant crime.
Yeah, John, I'm going to have you back because I could talk to you for the next 3 hours about these topics. But here's what I have to ask you. The last question I can get in today, and it's important. Is there a so-called deep state, as it's referred to? Are there agents in the FBI after the marriage of justice with the FBI during the Mueller tenure, as you put it, they were joined at the hip. Is there a group of people in there that are operatives, that are liberals, that are Democrats, whatever you want to term them, that operate at their own, beat and take on Donald Trump? We got 20 seconds.
Well, I'm an FBI dealing facts. There's been 120 something leaks. Somebody's leaking. James Comey admitted he's a leaker. So if you leak something once, it's a good bet as an investigator. I would believe it wasn't your first time.
I agree. We got to leave it there, John. It's a great answer, great conversation. the book, The Near Enemy, a John Booker thriller. And I don't mind mentioning it, my friend. And I'd look forward to having you back sometime soon because you are a wealth and a deep well of information at an important and critical time in American history. Thank you for everything you did and what you're doing.
You're welcome. Take care, Steve.
John Legato, everybody. It's the Steve Gruber Show back after this.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and open the phone lines. Why not? Blow them open. What do you think about this? A couple of things today. You know, the city of East Lansing continued to extend their ban to a farmer that lives in a different county from showing up at their farmer's market, costing him a tremendous... It's the biggest farmer's market in the region, so they're punishing a guy financially for what he believes and what he does in his backyard. The hotline, by the way, is 888-900-9966. That's 888-900-9966. You can catch all of these interviews, whether it's Kelsey Harkness from the Daily Signal, John Legato. Was he terrific or what? Yeah. What? Oh, yeah, we'll have him back. Absolutely. We're working on it right now for next week. Yeah. No, John Legato was terrific. 23-year veteran of the FBI, a special agent who just told us James Comey committed felonies. James Comey committed felonies by sharing that material with his buddy that was specifically intended to go to the New York Times. And as John Legato just explained, whenever he took notes, if he took notes on toilet paper, it was the property of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, period. So James Comey's notion that somehow it was just his personal recollections about his personal conversation with the President of the United States, but he wanted to take those notes specifically because he was concerned. And if an FBI agent is concerned, that is clearly a matter that is the property of the Bureau, therefore the property of the government, and therefore disseminating that information would be a blatant violation of the documents that you sign when you join the FBI to never do that. Secondly, if it's classified information, even though Comey's friend now says, well, it wasn't marked classified, doesn't matter. It's Comey's job to know, as the director of the FBI, it is his job to know what is classified and what is not. It is his clear responsibility. And disseminating that information, just because James Comey didn't write classified across the top, doesn't mean it isn't. Same conversation we had concerning Hillary Clinton. When she tried to say, well, it didn't say classified, doesn't matter, Madam Secretary. It's your job to know what classified is and isn't. And now, how many memos were actually leaked? Was it one? Or was it four? Or was it seven, as John Legato just suggested? How many of these memos were leaked out there, and to what effect, and to whom? And would you put the guy in prison? Because I would. I mean, there's no question that this guy, if it is concluded that if he willfully, with malice aforethought, decided the right thing to do in an effort to injure the president politically or more, criminally potentially, if that was his intention, was to damage the president any way he could, if he was venal enough to go after the president in this way, then he should be held to account. The question is, will he be? Loretta Lynch not held to account. James Clapper, we know, has lied before Congress now because there is no consensus of 17 intelligence agencies. That's clear now. CNN continues to use the narrative, though, that all 17 intelligence agencies concluded the Russians had meddled with the American elections. Simply not true. They were not all involved. They may have just signed off on it. That may have happened. But as far as all 17 agencies investigating the Russia collusion connection or allegation, as it were, no, sir. That did not happen. Meanwhile, there are things going on that are affecting positive change in America that you don't hear about. Let me give you an example. President Donald Trump's crackdown on undocumented immigrants. We call them illegal aliens, by the way, because that's the legal term. But I wanted to make sure you understood. Undocumented immigrants are illegal aliens. The crackdown by federal agents is scaring some of those families back to Mexico. According to well-placed and knowledgeable sources in Pueblo. Yes, in Colorado. According to news reports, federal immigration and custom enforcement agents have been told to detain any illegal aliens they encounter, not just those with criminal histories or those in jails. The ramped-up enforcement has reportedly led to numerous people in the Pueblo area being arrested by ICE agents. One of those people, Benito Rubio, died in a Denver hospital. Sources report that some undocumented families have left the area for Mexico rather than run the risk of having a parent arrested or even sentenced to prison for immigration violations. You see, it's working. It's actually working. Let's go to the hotline. Mike is on in Ann Arbor. Mike, welcome to the conversation.
Hi, Steve. Your show this morning has exposed a couple things. First of all, the Republican Party, the great GOP, is now known as the Gutless Party. And as far as the FBI is concerned, they've been turned into nothing but the Keystone Cops, period. It is a joke. And as far as somebody unmasking information about an opponent in an election, let's go back to Barack Obama when he was running for the Senate, when he had a judge open up the divorce file of Ryan, his opponent in Illinois. That was a crime.
A sealed divorce file, Mike.
A sealed divorce.
To embarrass him.
So when I hear Mr. Warner on the news from Mark Warner from Virginia say, I'm troubled.
Yeah, he's troubled,
all right. The American people are troubled.
Disgusted, more accurately. I'd have her hold for a minute longer, if you would, Alex, because I want to get her a little more time, get her wound up, get a little more coffee into her before we put her on the air. So we're going to take a couple of more phone calls right after the break at 888-900-9966. One of your favorites is coming up. She'll stand by, don't worry. 888-900-9966. This is the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back. Certain people get special billing. Certain people have earned it. Certain callers get special billing because, well, they've earned it. Jennifer, welcome to the program, my friend.
Well, thank you so very, very much. You know, whatever the Democrats and the powers that be have been trying to label Russia pales in comparison to what James Comey has done. Because James Comey was placed in the position as the director of the FBI to protect the people here at this country and to protect this president. And to protect the citizens here. He has violated his oath of office. He has betrayed the American people and the United States. Does he deserve to go to jail? In a heartbeat. If I did all that, I'd have been in jail months ago. The same thing with Hillary Clinton. None of the people that are appointed to these public offices have the right to place their personal feelings and ideas about their political parties before their oath of office and doing their job. I don't care what they think of personally. I don't care what candidate they feel is doing a better job. That's not the issue. The issue is they were hired to do a job. They took an oath to protect and to stand up for this country and the president of the United States. And they violated everything. I am so angry.
Thank you, Jennifer. As always, Judy is in Kalamazoo standing by today. Judy, welcome to the conversation.
Hi, Steve. I would like to go along with what Jennifer just said. Mr. Comey, because we have no legal system anymore, well, at least for those who don't think we have any legal system, he'll never see the inside of a jail cell.
It's unfortunate, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the caller before her, the gentleman who mentioned the new name for the GOP.
Yeah, Gutless. Gutless on parade.
I have the rest of it.
Go quickly.
Gutless Observation Party.
There you go. Judy, thank you very much. Jennifer, thank you. Thank you to all the listeners and all the callers today. We'll take more of your calls after the top of the hour, potentially, here. I'm going to give you a whole list of words that you can't say anymore. You're not allowed. I'll tell you why after this.